Jesus, thank you that you have taken us to be your bride. Help us remember this as we think and write and talk about partnerships and marriage in your kingdom. Amen. So we've been looking at kingdom relationships over the past few weeks. We've considered our relationship with God, with our neighbour, with our enemies, and with the children in our life. Today we're going to look at partners. I would like to start at the beginning. In the Genesis accounts of creation, God said that it's not good for people to be on their own. God made a partner for Adam. They became one flesh and were naked and not ashamed. It was good, in other words. If you look in a number of translations about verse 18 that we heard read, they include the word helper, ours did today. And traditionally, this has been interpreted as an inferior rather than an equal, that woman is inferior to man. But we are growing in our understanding that translators fall prey to patriarchal bias as much as anyone. Azer in Hebrew, which rhymes with gazer, that's how I remembered how to say it, is a masculine noun that translates to help, helper, or support. Rather than a subordinate assistant, it often signifies an ally, strength, or rescuer, and it's frequently used in the Bible to describe God. So it doesn't mean inferior at all. So from the first human couple in the Bible, we see an understanding by the writer that God blesses relationship to avoid loneliness. My studies of this passage have led me to understand that God values partnership and equality, and that God envisages that partners should be allies to each other and support one another, showing faithfulness and longevity. We can also see that there was not a problem with being naked, either in terms of clothes or being vulnerable and honest with each other. And there was no shame. Religion has made a big deal about shaming people for nudity or sex. So it's good to see how we started out unashamed as a human race in the love of God. So we can see that our understanding in Bible study is moving from seeing women as less than men towards an understanding of their value and equality as strong and rescuing allies, like we might understand the character of God. Then we come to how the Apostle Paul wrote in his letters about het marriages, which has often been interpreted again to put women in a position under men's direction. There's a good YouTube video where Paul Young is talking to Bradley Jerzak about Ephesians chapter 5, which we heard read. In Ephesians chapter 5, we often see a subheading in the Bible like the Christian household, or women submit to your husbands. Paul Young was abused by men in his childhood, and the women were the ones who gave him relief and sanctuary at times, which he says saved his life. So Paul Young did a deep dive Bible study into the idea of women submitting to men. In the YouTube video, he explained that paragraphs and headings and chapters did not exist at the time that the Apostle Paul wrote his letters. They were added later by translators. Paul Young explained that there was a free-flowing thought expressed by the Apostle Paul, two main Pauls, in his letter to the Ephesians. The translators have broken up that flow. The Apostle Paul mentioned women submitting to their husbands. That is not wrong, but only in the context of us all submitting to one another. Women submitting to their husband is among a list of other types of behaviour that the Apostle Paul lists as springing from being filled with the Holy Spirit, as translated at Ephesians 5, 18b. What Paul Young explained was that followers of Jesus were exhorted, now that they were full of the Holy Spirit, to be subject to one another. We are each to love the other, respect them and care for them. I'm upset that a whole industry of preaching, pastoring and writing books has grown up showing men how to dominate and disregard women based on an old-fashioned and inaccurate understanding of Genesis 2:18 and a separating Ephesians 5:22 from its proper context and full meaning. And before any women here think I'm saying women are equal and it's time to get our own back on men, the scriptures tell us to love and respect them. We shouldn't have man-hating jokes. Those are just as nasty as Les Dawson or Reggie Perry talking about their mother-in-laws. And if you're young, you won't get that. Most of us can, though, can't we? Our third passage today is just as misused as the other two I have chosen. From the Matthew chapter 19 passage, people often quote Jesus saying, "Have you not read that the one who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." This is often used as a prohibition on being trans, because God made them male and female, not anything else, and also to justify that marriage is only for het people. However, the passage in Matthew 19 starts with a question from the Pharisees to Jesus, trying to trick him. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause? That is why Jesus answers about a man and a woman, because the question was about a man and a woman. As an aside, this doesn't mean that there weren't other types of relationship around Jesus, which he knew about, but which may have been hidden due to the patriarchal society. One such relationship was in the scriptures, which he would have studied in the synagogue. In 1 Samuel 20, you can read about their covenantal love. I've missed a bit out there. It's about David and Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 20, you can read about their covenantal love, worth a read, it's lovely. And in 2 Samuel 1, David laments the death of Jonathan. He says, "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women." That's from the Old Testament. Going back to our passage from Matthew, it talks about divorce as well. And many traditionalists have taught that divorce is wrong. We saw in Genesis that God was described as supporting a faithful, lasting relationship. But Moses allowed divorce and commanded men to give their wives a certificate of divorce when they left them. Jesus said this was because of the hardness of men's hearts. Tommy Miller posted a good video about this, which I watched. He talked about how women were viewed as property in that society. If you didn't bleed on your wedding night to prove you were a virgin, the law allowed you to be stoned to death for playing the harlot in your father's house. You can look this up in Deuteronomy 22 later. A certificate of divorce allowed a woman to show a new husband why she wouldn't bleed on their wedding night and save her from being discarded or executed. Lovely, eh? Men could discard their wives when they fancied a younger model or didn't like their stew. And woman would be left without anything since there wasn't any social security. This is why Jesus did not accuse the woman at the well of sin. She had been married and discarded a number of times. Jesus was the living water that she had always been seeking, who would never abandon or discard her. So you see, divorce is not something God celebrates, but this is because God loves all the people God created and doesn't want them to be left without companionship or food or shelter. The church historically has turned it into a shameful thing for people to divorce. We have told women to stay with abusive husbands. We have forbidden remarriage. Eventually, most of us have come to see that leaving a marriage where both of you, or even one of you, is miserable, is better than pretending it's okay and staying together. Later in the passage, Jesus talks about the idea that it is better not to marry. Paul told people this. Paul thought that the kingdom would be established soon on the earth and that marriage and procreation would no longer be necessary. He thought that people who could should devote themselves to evangelism. It's a good job not everyone followed his advice, or thousands of years later we would have been extinct as a human race. Paul was a bit of a crusader about celibacy, but Jesus reminded his followers that not everyone is cut out for it. Me neither. Our gospel reading records his words. Not everyone can accept this teaching, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by others, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let anyone accept this who can. Jesus talks about people who are eunuchs from birth. They are truly happier single. Perhaps they are asexual or aromantic. They have been like this from birth. And he talks about those who choose to become a eunuch. They embark upon a chaste single life to pursue ministry like our brothers and sisters in holy orders. But Jesus also talks about people who have been made celibate. He talks about eunuchs. Some were physically castrated to serve the king in his harems. I think we can apply that today to gay people who are not allowed to marry. Society shames them into not having relationships. We even try and pray away the gay. Even Paul, the champion of celibacy, wrote in his first letter to Timothy that people should not forbid others to marry or abstain from certain foods, for everything God created is good. Forcing people to be celibate when most people cannot endure it is as hateful as genital mutilation. So we have seen that marriage historically was about ownership, and that men could discard women they had grown tired of. We have seen that people were tortured and mutilated. It is against this backdrop that Jesus was speaking about true partnerships. We should look at that carefully, rather than establishing a purity culture around religion and marriage. Remembering that God was recorded as saying in Genesis that it is not good for people to be alone, marriage is a beautiful way for companionship and partnership and support that God designed. Within the Church of England, your ministers here are part of a movement towards marriage equality for gay and het people. If you would like to help with that, please speak to Andy or me at any time. However, a mistake that people make when progressive believers say that they support divorce and remarriage, and that they support equality between men and women, and that they support gay marriage, is to interpret this as anything goes. To say that anything goes is not in keeping with the teaching of Jesus. It's clearly Jesus' view that we should love each other as he loves us. This is especially true with our partner. Jesus treated people with respect and honour. Even though he was fully divine as well as fully human, he didn't overpower or dominate people. We should be one flesh with our partner, being loyal, helpful, truthful, sexually faithful and fair, sharing money, sharing chores, tending to family members together who are old or young. When we as couples delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our hearts. The Celtic knot is often a design on wedding rings that shows how harmonious marriages are when God is noticed and followed in the midst of them. Choosing the right life partner or spouse is probably the most important decision we can make. Let's not be hasty. Let's think about it and get advice. Before we get into it, let's think about what we bring to it and what we are seeking in return. If you are already in a partnership, do you honour your partner? Do you speak well of them when they are not there? Do you make important decisions together? Do you share chores and money? When you are tempted to be unfaithful, do you flee from it back to your spouse? It's important to recognise how high Jesus' standards for marriage are. He is our bridegroom. He is the best. And he is redeeming each of us. Unfortunately though, we are not there yet. And a lot of marriages are disaster zones. It is not good for people to be on our own, but we can be lonely in a partnership too if we don't put the work in with communication, boundaries and shared goals for a happy life. Can we improve our relationship with more attention, honesty or indeed independent outside help? Or should we separate for the good of all? Whatever the state of our partnership, there is absolutely no excuse for abuse. If you are being shamed, ignored, controlled, hit, or isolated from your friends and families by your partner, then do privately seek confidential help. You don't have to tell your partner. There is a telephone number in our toilets for you to get advice. Finally, I would like us to remember what a beautiful gift romantic love is. I would like to give a little plug for a beautiful erotic love story in the Bible. The Song of Solomon, sometimes called the Song of Songs, is found in your Bible just before Isaiah. It's worth a deep dive study. I will leave you with a little passage from chapter 2. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love. Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Listen, my beloved, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me."